Well, good morning and God bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. Sure nice to be together. This is a little piece of what it's going to be like at the gathering. So think of what that's going to be like. Right? So I bring you greetings and love from the believers down south, from Atlanta, Georgia. We're going to open with the word of prayer, okay? Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, thank you for your grace, mercy, your love. Father, our hearts are already so full and so blessed just being together and hearing your word last night. I just thank you for what you're going to do today and how you work within us. And I pray for today, it can be a great day in which we walk and glorify you. And Father, for signs, wonders, and miracles to follow as we walk on your word. Thanks for each person here, Father, and I thank you for the privilege we have to be together. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Well, let's take our songbooks, please. Number 71. Number 71. I am resolved. I am resolved. Number 71. Oh, by the way, we've been kind of lazy the last few years. So on this song, you see in the chorus where it has hasten, glad, and free? That's when the men are supposed to stand up and go, hasten, glad, and free. Like that, all right? So today, we're doing it old style, all right? Where the men stand up and do the hasten, glad, and free, all right? Okay, ready, number 71? All right.
I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my side. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free,
hasten glad and free.
Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee.
Ladies, I think a clap is due for that. That was pretty good. All right. I'm resolved to go to the Savior.
I am resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife. He is the true one. He is the just one. He hath the words of life.
An equal rights, whatever thing, but we'll let the ladies do it, all right? See how it goes. All right. I am resolved to follow the Savior.
I am resolved to follow the Savior, faithful and true each day. Heed what he saideth, do what he willeth. He is the living way. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free,
hasten glad and free.
Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee.
Beautiful. Nothing like a little competition in the body of Christ. But we're all part of a family, all right? Number 34. We'll sing this all together, the family of God. Number 34. Looks a little sunny out there this morning. That's nice. Oh, so we'd ask if you wouldn't mind if you'd please turn your cell phones off. All right, really not just on whatever that stun mode is. Yeah, but if you actually turn it off would be helpful, all right? Because there's a lot of electronics we're using here for translations and stuff. It really would help if you wouldn't mind doing that. All right, so we're going to sing The Family of God, I'm so glad. You are, right?
Yes.
All right, good. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God.
I've been cleansed from unrighteousness, saved by His blood. Join there with Christ as I travel the way. For I'm part of the family of God. You will notice we say bless you and love you round here. It's because we're a family and God's love so near. When one has a heartache, we need have no fear. We rejoice in each victory in this family so dear. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been cleansed from unrighteousness, saved by His blood. Join air with Christ as I travel the way. For I'm part of the family of God. From the depths of despair, Christ now reigns within. No longer an outcast, redeemed from all sin. From death unto life, from the weak to the strong, I'm not worthy to be here, but praise God I belong.
Yeah!
I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been cleansed from unrighteousness, saved by His blood. Join air with Christ as I travel the way. For I'm part of the family of God.
Man, do you sound beautiful this morning? Well, I asked a few of my friends from Atlanta to come and help lead a song today, all right? So Laura Grove and Bibiana Aguero, come on up. Bibiana, you don't need your purse for this. You know, okay. We're gonna do what number is this? 82, I Shall Not Be Moved. I Shall Not Be Moved. All right, ladies, it's all yours. Go ahead now. Show them how we do it down south.
To heaven I shall not be moved. No. On my way to heaven I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. Trusting in the Savior, I shall not be moved. Trusting in the Savior, I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved.
No!
I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the waters. I shall not be moved.
Yeah, thank you, girls. Sure is great to be together, isn't it? Man, oh man. Let's have a word of prayer, okay? Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we're just so very thankful to be with you thankful to be with each other for the trust, the confidence that we can have on you and your word. And I just thank you today for our privilege of going to you and looking to you to answer all of our needs. And Father, for you working within us to help each other and love one another and for us to reach out and bless each other. And then, Father, also for the effect that we have on the world as we go forth with the love of God. Thank you so much, Father, for the kindness that you've shown to us and continue to. And I just thank you for what we do today in your name. And I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Before we hear from God this morning, I thought we would sing another song, all right? It's number 117. Number 117, Love Lifted Me, all right? Number 117. Then we have three teachers this morning. This is exciting. As we heard last night in this section of Acts, we are going to look at some of the specific items in there that we are to focus on as believers in our administration. So that's going to be exciting. But let's do number 117, Love Lifted Me.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the water lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, oh, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. All my heart to him I give, ever to him I cling. In his presence daily live, ever his praises sing. Love so mighty and so true merits my soul's best songs. Faithful, loving service to him belongs. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, oh, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me.
Dennis Pace, would you stand and have a word of prayer, please?
Father God, we're so thankful for this day. God, for this day, time, and hour to live, Father, to be your kids, to know the greatness of what, some of what the greatness of you've done for us in Christ Jesus, Father, that you've been opening up our eyes to the greatness of the fullness of that. Father, we thank you for the fellowship. We thank you for watching those, protecting each and every person here, their family, their children, their families, God, that we can all get everything that you would have us to get out of this weekend. I pray for our country, God, for our president, for watching over, protecting him, God, and for the other countries that are represented here today, that we can live a quiet, peaceful life in all godliness and honesty, Father. And I thank you, Father, for just the continued goodness of your spirit in our lives. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen. And John Rue, would you stand, please, and speak in tongues and interpret?
Know for a truth, my people, that I have called you, and my calling is steadfast and sure. And I am the God who created the heavens and the earth, and I have done it for you because I love you. So fear for nothing, but come unto me with your hearts open wide, for I do greatly desire to bless your lives.
Greg West, would you stand and speak in tongues and interpret?
Be confident in me, my children. Have all trust in me, for I, your God and Father, have separated you to stand as lights in this world. For without you, there is no love. My love is not represented unless you speak it forth and show it forth. And my light of my word is not represented unless you speak it forth. So you are dearly important to me. You are royalty in my sight. You are righteous and you are set apart and sanctified, and you are love.
Terry Lee, would you stand and speak in tongues and interpret?
For verily, my children, I am the Lord your God, and I am with you at this very moment in time. I am always with you, my children. I never leave thee nor forsake thee. Let my love surround you. Share my love and stand boldly upon it. For truly, you are lights in this world.
Jimmy Cahill, Word of Prophecy.
Know that the very depth of your heart, that I, the Lord thy God, love you tremendously, and I look down upon you from heaven. I see the greatness of what I have made you to be in Christ. So put on that greatness and walk boldly in this world as the light that I have made you to be.
And Reverend Howie Ramian, would you please stand and have a word of prophecy?
Surely, my children, I love you with a deep and burning love. I have known you from before the foundations of the world and have chosen you to be my dearly beloved children. Walk with all the greatness and with all the power that I have given you in my son, Christ Jesus. Walk with all the confidence that you walk with. For surely you are my dearly beloved children, and you are the lights of this dark world.
Lisi Carr, would you have a word of prayer, please?
Well, God, thank you so much for those words. Thanks for just letting us know and reminding us so much that we're lights, and pray that we can be confident in that and remember that, not just today, but as we just walk about our lives every single day, Father. Remember how much of an impact our lives are wherever we go. So thank you so much for making our lives as great as they are, and for just how wonderful you are to help let us be a part of your family. So thanks so much. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
That's my daddy. How awesome is that? Well, the first person that's going to share God's word today, I think, has had a profound effect, his life, on each one of us. His life and ministry has blessed us, his vision for the move of God's word, his care for God's people, and what a blessing it is for us to have people like Reverend Dean Mercado with us. That's just such a blessing to be in the body of Christ with Dean. But before he shares God's word, I thought we'd sing a song, all right? Is that all right with you? All right, no, okay, so it's gonna be Expect Miracles. Expect Miracles. I better tell you what number it is because I didn't write it down. It's in the E's, all right? What number? 41? 31. You know, this is longer than the song itself. Okay. 31, Expect Miracles, sorry. I always call this the college song because the college fellowships, they choose the shortest songs there are in the book. This is a really good one, yeah. All right, Expect Miracles. Let's stand up and sing it, okay? Number 31. Oh yeah, there's a clap, right? Okay, ready with that? All right, here we go.
Expect miracles every day. Expect miracles when you pray. When you expect them, God has got the way to perform miracles for you each day.
Ladies and gentlemen, Reverend Dean Mercado.
Thank you. Please be seated. Thank you so much. Well, good morning and God bless you. I want to thank Reverend Jerry Carr for the great privilege to share God's word with you this morning at this great gathering together, the Spring Advance. And it is a joy and privilege to fellowship with you. And I really mean that. For me, I remember when I got in God's word and I saw the love and the light of God's word that was living at a fellowship, I craved that and wanted that. Didn't you? I guess so. You're here, right? But that just, as I continued to grow in God's word, I mean, at times I would make sure that I got to hug every single person at a fellowship, even the big ones, you know. I don't know about this one, but just to fellowship. By the way, I'll be sharing on fellowship with God and others this morning. And Steve was right, the view from up here, it's quite blinding. I think God wants us to know we're lights in this world. How about those manifestations? I'm glad there was a song before I came up, because I got a little weepy over there. You know, what could be more important than our fellowship with God and others? Your job? TV time? The programs? Come on now. Go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and what? Fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And as we each have fellowship with God and others, man, it's like the next best thing to the gathering together. And that Michael mentioned that about us being here together like this, because it's the love of God in action. It's believing in action. And you know what? That's God's will for us. He wants us to enjoy this life, to be blessed, and be totally embraced in his love. Isn't it God in Christ in you?
Yes.
One way that God loves us is with each other. You know, what hands does God have but our hands? And what arms does he have but our arms to hold each other with and to love each other? You know, I hope you didn't come here to hug a tree or a bear. I hope you didn't come here just for the coffee. I hope you didn't come here to be alone, naked, and afraid in the woods. You know, driving by, seeing all those trees, I'm just waiting to see somebody naked over there, you know? I never actually watched that program, but I see the previews all the time. You know? No, we didn't come for that. And I hope you didn't come here thinking this was some corporate seminar for race and gender relations. No. We came here to hear God's word and to what? Fellowship. Last night, my heart started to bubble over before the fellowship even started. Because of all the hugs and the greetings with holy kisses going on. Wasn't that awesome? Did you feel it? It's okay to have feelings. 1 John chapter 3. Chapter 1, verse 3, please. 1 John. It says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. God's portion in all this, like the whole universe, is us, you. God's heart in creation. God created the universe to hold the earth, okay? The earth to hold man, and man for himself. God created man for himself so that he could have children with whom to love and to fellowship. It's a love thing. You know, in looking at this from the Word, the love portion of this was like, man, so huge. And those manifestations just before the, you know, me coming up here just took me out. It's so beautiful. This is God's heart. That's why he wanted a family, so that he could have fellowship with us. You know, he gave his love, his heart, his word, his son for us. And he wants our love and our heart and our believing. Look at Psalm 5, verse 3. Here it says, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. In the morning here is repeated, adding emphasis. The first thought of his day was God. Let the first thought of our day be God, and talk to him and pray to him with love in our hearts. Think of what blesses God. Think about it. Prayer with believing really blesses God. Talking to him with believing in your heart, with love in your heart and trust, that really blesses him. And I know that as a father. If I tell my kids something and they blow me off, and you know when your kids blow you off, right? You know, it kind of hurts a little. I'm like, what? You're 5. But when you know they believe you and trust you, it's like, bam, here we go. Now we're moving. 1 John chapter 3. Talking about prayer here, 1 John 3. Verses 20 to 23 here. It says, for if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth what?
All things.
All things. Does your heart condemn you sometimes?
Yes.
Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. You know, God is willing to answer our prayers, right?
Yeah.
Yes. But broken fellowship on our part leaves our confidence shaky and uncertain. But we can remember that God is greater than our heart. And I love that one, because that's just the make it easy part. We don't have to have our heart figured out. We could just override it, because God is greater than our heart. When we're in fellowship with God, we have confidence toward God. And man, then when you pray, it is on. You know you're believing. And, you know, Aaron taught my fellowship a couple weeks ago, and it was so great. Records where people were happy before the deliverance because they prayed with believing, and they knew. You don't have to chew your nails to the second or third or fourth knuckle before you get answered prayer. You could have that joy in the believing right away. Confidence toward God, answered prayer. Can you imagine what it would be like if your if an earthly father never really talked to his child, they never really talked with each other, or spent time together, or did things together, or a father that never instructed his kids or never gave them anything. It's kind of sad. I see faces, frowns. That's what it would be like if we didn't have fellowship with God. But we do have God, and we do have fellowship with him. God does speak to us, and he hears us. God is always with us, as we hear in the manifestations. He really wants us to know and believe that, and to be reminded of it. We can do everything together with God. It's not because he's not around sometimes. And he does tell us he loves us in his word and in the manifestations. And he answers our prayers of believing. And he has given us all spiritual blessings. And he gives us stuff all the time. We have a tremendous God. We have a great Father who's a true Father unto us. And we do share so much in common with God. Why? Because we have his Spirit in us. He's in us. It's almost unbelievable. But where is God? He's in us. God in Christ in you. He makes his dwelling within us. We have spirit in common with God in us. And I say us, right? You, we, you and I. We share so much in common. How much? Psalm 48. Sometimes the simplest things are the most profound. In Psalm 48:14, it says, this is in the context of me sharing with you what we have in common. For this God is our God. This God is our God, your God and my God. We share the same God. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. We share in common the same God. The same God that hears your prayers, hears mine. And the point is, we should be so thankful. We should be so thankful and pursue fellowship with God and the other believers. Go to Acts 2:41 again. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Jerry so greatly shared last night about how they continued steadfastly in the apostles and what an apostle is and in the doctrine. And fellowship. Fellowship here means to fully share. It's the act of partaking. It's sharing. It's partnership. And it's communion. The root word of this word fellowship is partake or partner. You know, we're going to keep coming. Actually, go to 2 Peter chapter 1 real quick. 2 Peter 1 verse 4. Now, in light of what we have in common, we share the same God. It's not a different God that they have in Ecuador or in Bolivia than we have here in New York, and it's not a different God in New Jersey than Florida. It's the same God. In 2 Peter 1:4, it says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers. That's that word, the root word of fellowship. Partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We share fully all the promises of God, the exceeding great and precious promises we share together. Look at 1 Corinthians 10, verse 20. This was the birth of the church at this time. A whole new deal. 1 Corinthians 10:20. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils, just in case you were wondering. God does not want us to have fellowship or to partake with devils. 2 Corinthians 6:14. God is so great, he tells us what to do and what not to do. Second Corinthians 6:14, it says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? God doesn't want us to be yoked together with unbelievers. The yoke is that beam between the two animals that work together in the field. They put that beam across the two animals and tie them together, and they pull together in the same direction and work with each other and help each other. But if you're tied together with an unbeliever, yoked together, you know what I see? I see a picture of a strong ox, you, working, knowing what direction to go in. On the other side, I see a gerbil. With its little legs dangling in the air like this, trying to go in the other direction. What kind of sense is this? It's nonsense. As a believer, to hook yourself up with an unbeliever is stupid. What fellowship is there? What communion is there? That word, and what communion hath light with darkness, that's the word fellowship as well. Communion is fellowship. The same word is in Acts 2:42. Where's the fellowship with light and darkness? Do they hang out with each other? You know what's so cool? When the lights go on, the darkness, psh, out. Acts 2:42 again. We keep coming back to this. It's the theme of the advance. Acts 2:42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. They must have had great meals together. Can you imagine all of a sudden 3,000 souls? And everyone's like, what's going on? What happened? What did you hear? What did you see? They had to get together in homes, in the houses, you know, and break fellowship. Well, I mean, break bread together. You know, and man, the true bread of life is the word. They must have spoken about the word and ate together. In light of the first century church in the 21st, the first century church was born into a society that was just as indoctrinated and hardened as any. Yet, the first century church turned the world upside down, which is really right side up because it was upside down already to begin with. They spoke God's word just like we do. When I hear fellowship, I think of the fellowship meeting, you know, in a home. Early church meetings in homes was how the first century believers grew and sustained men and women with God's word. And that's what we know as the fellowships we have today. Acts 2:46. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart from house to house. That's where they shared the word with each other. Look at Acts 5:42. Just a couple of pages over. Acts 5:42. And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. To teach and preach in every house. Jerry shared Acts 20:20 last night. It says, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from what? House to house. Teaching from house to house. The birth of the church. Fellowship in the home. The first century church in the 21st. We're still living this word of God like they did in the first century church. We don't have to go to Acts 10. You can read it on your own. But it's a wonderful description of how God arranged the fellowship in old Cornelius' house. God arranged the fellowship. And he asked Peter to go teach at a fellowship. God had to ask him himself, because Peter never would have kept company with the Gentiles. He never would have been there. He never would have gone. But God said, go. And they had a fellowship at old Cornelius' house. And it happened to be the first time that the Gentiles also received Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues. Where? At a house. This word of God has not changed since then. We're still in the administration of grace, the administration of the great mystery revealed. The meetings in small groups in homes made it possible for participation by everyone, giving attention and help to each individual, just like today in the 21st century. Groups of about 6 to 12 people taking care of believers in each area, and they had overseers, just like we do, fellowship coordinators. And I thank God for fellowship coordinators. I get choked up thinking about some of them that I've had. You think about fellowship coordinators you've had over the years. Are you thankful for them? Oh, yes. 1 John chapter 1. First John 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. And for the life that was manifested, as we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be what?
Full.
Verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, what did they see and what did they hear? Think about it. That would be a great teaching right there. You could spend a year teaching it. They saw the resurrection. They saw power manifested. They saw the word of God. They saw the mystery. And understood the mystery revealed, that it was God in Christ in you. These are the kind of things they saw and they heard. And it says here, declare we unto you. Declare means to bring tidings. to bring word, it's a report, to proclaim and to make known openly, it's to announce. This is what was being declared. That ye also, the word that is awesome. It means in order that ye also may have. The word have, it means to own. It's to hold in hand in the sense of wearing something. To have and hold, you've got it. What? Fellowship with us. Fellowship with us. So others that hear can fully share and participate in that which was declared. And from a couple of other translations, the part of this verse here, that ye also may have fellowship with us, is this: so that you may share our fellowship. In another one, it's in order that ye may have partnership with us. In order that ye may have partnership with us. Another one is so that ye may have communion with us. That's from the 20th century New Translation or New Testament translation. Communion with us. And the last one I have is so that we together may share in a common life. The New English Bible. That we may share in a common life, the fellowship. So the stuff that was declared, there was a reason. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And again, what could be more important than our fellowship with God and others? God gave us Holy Spirit. He fully shared with us. You know, fellowship is to fully share, sharing, partnership. He fully shared with us His Holy Spirit. It's in every fiber of our being. I dare you to try to take it out. Holy Spirit. And He also shared with us Christ. God shared with us Christ. He fully shared with us Christ. We have Him in us. Man. Jesus Christ had a perfect fellowship with God, didn't He? He never broke fellowship with God. We are in awe of that. I'm not going to ask if you are, because you should be. And if you're not, shame on you. You are in awe of that. And this Jesus Christ is in us. It's Christ in us. Christ Jesus is in us. Not the defeated one, the resurrected one. Christ is in us. And you know, when God sees us, that's what He sees. Christ in you. That's the fellowship. Man. You got to keep your finger here because we're going to come back to this, okay? But I want you to go to 1 Corinthians 1:9. Wow. 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. We're called unto the fellowship of His Son. Man, our fellowship with Jesus Christ is identification, full identification with Him, full communion with Him. He got up, we get up. He's seated at the right hand of God, we're seated at the right hand of God. It's full identification. In baseball, it would be like Jesus Christ gets up at bat and knocks out a grand slam home run. And all of us run around the bases with Him. Like kiddie soccer. All of us around the bases with Him. That's full identification with Jesus Christ. That's the fellowship we have with Him that we're called unto. How to have fellowship with God? Walk in the light of His word. Pray, speak in tongues, read His word, stay in mind, or do anything in the love of God in the renewed mind and manifestation. Fellowship with God. It's because of our fellowship with God and with His Son, Jesus Christ, that we can even have fellowship with each other. Back to 1 John 1:4. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. What a great reason to declare God's word, so that others can have joy and have it be full, and so that we could have our joy be full. Verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is what?
No darkness.
None. He said it three times in the manifestations this morning. There is no darkness in him at all. Man, that took me out. Because I knew I was going to share this. He knew. There's no darkness in him at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we what? And the truth is not in us. And do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is the light, we have fellowship with him. We have fellowship one with another. He's light. We're lights. And he said it. That's fellowship. We walk in the light. That's fellowship. Then we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Verse 7, if we walk in light, his word, we have fellowship. We own fellowship. We own it. We have it in hand. We wear it. Fellowship with God is walking in this love of God and renewed mind and manifestation. Fellowship is our continued relationship with God. Fellowship is maintained by renewing the mind according to God's word. Broken fellowship does not break the relationship. Okay? And I thank God for that. It's like if your child disobeys you, they're still your child. It just puts a little monkey wrench in that relationship. It's injured. Fellowship is the one thing that makes for a happy situation, both in a human and spiritual family. Fellowship with God by way of renewed mind is the key to power and how we manifest this more than abundant life. Fellowship with God and others, I see it like this. I'll give you a visual. Fellowship with God. I got to do it over here. Fellowship with God. When I was in college, we didn't have organized college pictures. So we took our own. And my photograph was in light of fellowship with God and manifesting power on earth. Vertical to horizontal. So my picture is me like this. Vertical, the leg out for horizontal, baby. That was my college picture. This here is believing in God in action this way, horizontal, fellowship with others. In light of fellowship with others, like in a marriage, you each fellowship with God and get closer to God, and you each get closer to what? Each other. Like this. This is geometry. I'm an architect too, right? It's geometry, okay? Two objects moving to the same point get closer to each other. We get closer to each other as we have fellowship with God and move toward him. It's like a triangle that comes to a point to God. Walking in darkness, we do not have fellowship. Walking in light, we have fellowship. It's established in 1 John 1:6. If we say, you there? If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we what? And do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is the light, we have fellowship one with another. See, it's not what we say. It's what we do. You could say anything, but what do you do? That's how you know what someone believes, by what they say and what they do. 1 John 2, verse 9. You know, in the context of 1 John, it talks about fellowship in the beginning, and then it's a love thing. Love just keeps coming up about loving each other. Let's look at a couple of these. 1 John 2, verse 9. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because he's blind, it's dark, he can't see. Loving our brother is walking in the light of God's word. That's how we have fellowship. You know, parents that have multiple children, like me, we tell our kids to love each other, and God tells us to love each other. No great news to the believer, right? But what do we do? I tell my kids, I'm going to love you the same no matter what. Stop trying to one-up each other. Stop trying to tattle on each other. I'm going to love you the same. I teach them love is, that's what's important at the end of the day. Stop fighting. I tell my kids, when you fight, it makes me sad. And makes mommy sad. Look at her face. But when you love each other, it just melts our heart. And I just picture God seeing his family and his kids loving each other, and it just melts God's heart. Because if I know when my kids love each other, it melts mine, I can't imagine what it does for God's. 1 John 3:1. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. God's love. God loves every one of us the same. He doesn't have favorites. We're all his favorites. So why wouldn't we love each other? The same God that, you know, loves you loves me. And the same God that loves me loves you. I also told my kids one time when they were fighting, you both came from the same mommy and daddy. You both came from the same belly. Come on. You got to love each other. You're in the same family. God and his word is all about us loving each other, walking in the light of his word so we can have fellowship with each other. So if you're fighting with your brother or sister, or if you've forsaken fellowship with someone, 1 John 3, verse 11. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should what? Not as Cain, who is of the wicked one and slew his brother. That's the adversary's answer. Oh, you don't like your brother? Ah, just kill him. That's his answer. And wherefore he slew him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brother, if the world hates you. You know, your works could be great and the world still hates you. Marvel not. Don't be surprised. Verse 14, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. And he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. God's answer is, instead of killing your brother, you lay down your life for your brother. The absolute opposite of the adversary's answer. Crazy. But verse 17, but whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shut up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Not what we say, but what we do in action. Look at chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is what?
Love.
In this was manifested love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And there's the example. God loved us first, so why wouldn't we love each other? Look at 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Loving God is tied to loving our brother, tied to loving others. That's God's will regarding our brothers and sisters in Christ, that we love them. And who's our brother? Who is my neighbor, anyway? Our brothers and sisters in Christ are those that are born again, that have Holy Spirit. Look at 1 John 5, verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Loving God is tied to loving God's kids. They're tied together. You can't do one without the other. This vertical God with believing and love has to manifest itself in the horizontal, our loving one another, God's kids. And that's what that love of God, unconditional love. God wants our fellowship. That's why he created. God also clearly wants us to have fellowship with each other. Look at 1 Peter 4:8. One more verse after this. I'm almost done. We're at the last little stretch here. 1 Peter 4:8. It says here, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Fervent charity means intense heat, hot, burning, glowing. It's white hot love. Charity is love, the love of God. White hot love among ourselves. Man, then you won't look at the sin like God. He does not look at our sin, when we have this love of God for each other, because Jesus Christ took care of all that. How to have fellowship with God and others? Walk in the light of God's word. Believe. Take believing action on God's word. Love. It's a decision. It's just a decision that you make from within. And you love with the love of God in a renewed mind and manifestation. You forgive. You let go of stuff. Just like God did for you. God will take care of your heart. Christ can come back at any moment anyway. So don't look at the past. Oh, he did this, they said that. Well, Christ could come back tomorrow. Get over that stuff. See the Christ in others. And if they forgot about it, remind them. And you know what? If they don't have Christ in them, then that which you have seen, that which you have heard, declare unto them, that they may have fellowship with you also. And to close, Hebrews 10, verse 24. Hebrews 10:24 It says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love. And I believe that's what I just did to you. That's what God wants us to do for each other. To provoke to love and to do good works. Look at this verse, 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Just like today, Jerry shared it yesterday. Some believers don't want to work with each other, whatever, whatever. They allow that stuff. But God says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye have seen the day approaching. Go to fellowship, man, and provoke one another to love. Don't let that go. As we have fellowship with God and with each other, it's the next best thing to the gathering together, because it's the love of God in action, believing in action. And that's God's will for us today, the 21st century, you know, the first century in the 21st century. So do what you like and like what you do, as long as you stay in fellowship. God bless you, and I love you.